April 15, 2024, and please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And roll call, please.
Commissioner Vilander?
Present.
Commissioner Velez?
Present.
Commissioner Roberts?
Present.
Commissioner Preston?
Present.
Commissioner Link? Absent. Vice Chair McDevitt?
Present.
And Chair Murray?
Here. Yeah, it's green. Got it. Okay. So the public forum. Ms. Coilery, if there's anybody in the public who wishes to address the commission with an item that is not on the agenda, this is the time to do it.
I have no speaker slips for this item, but if there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay. So are there any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
No amendments or adjustments.
Okay, then we'll move on to the administrative agenda. So please read item A1 to the...
Item A1, selection of Historic Preservation Commission Chair and Vice Chair.
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, Chair, Vice Chair, and Commissioners. Blake Markham from the City Clerk's Office. I'm here with you today so that we can go ahead and select a Chair and Vice Chair for the next year. So, just a reminder or so that we can go over how this process works. I'm going to be asking for nominations for a chair and a vice chair. We'll hear any nominations, and those nominations do not require a second, okay? After that, we'll take a vote for a chair and a vice chair, and then we'll have a little break while we do a shuffle, make sure everybody's in their correct seats and stuff like that, okay? So with that, let's go ahead and get started. So we're going to go ahead and start out with nominations for chair. So do I hear any nominations for chair?
I nominate Commissioner McDevitt.
Okay. We have a nomination for Commissioner McDevitt. Do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for chair?
Yeah, I'd nominate Fermina Murray again, or I don't know if this can be done again.
Okay. Chair Murray, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a nomination for Vice Chair McDevitt and one for Chair Murray. Are there any other nominations for chair?
Lori Ann Velez, I'd like to nominate Heather McDevitt for chair.
So, are there any other additional nominations for chair? Okay. Since the nomination for Chair Murray came second, we'll go ahead and take that nomination first. We'll do a roll call vote. If Chair Murray is selected, then we don't need any other votes. But if we don't have a chair after that vote, we would move on to the nomination for Vice Chair McDevitt. So, we'll begin with a roll call vote for the nomination of Chair Murray to be the chair.
Commissioner Vilander?
That's the proper term, decline. Opposed. Okay. Abstain. Sorry, abstain.
Commissioner Velez?
Abstain.
Commissioner Roberts?
Yay.
Commissioner Preston?
Commissioners, if you can please remember to speak into the microphone.
This might help, right? I abstain for cause. I am recent to the organization, and I don't know these people, so I'm going to step aside for this particular vote.
Vice Chair McDevitt.
Abstain.
And Chair Murray.
Yes.
We had two votes in favor, and the remaining are either abstained or are absent. So just one moment. And this is a motion where we would need a majority of the body. So we will now move on to the nomination for Vice Chair McDevitt. So if we can have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Vilander?
Yes.
Commissioner Velez?
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts?
Abstain.
Commissioner Preston?
Abstain.
Vice Chair McDevitt?
Yes.
And Chair Murray?
Yes.
Okay. We do have four votes in favor, so congratulations. We'll now move on to nominations for Vice Chair. So are there any nominations for Vice Chair?
I nominate Mrs. Murray, Permita Murray. Thank you.
Okay, we have one nomination for Commissioner Murray. Do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Okay, are there any other nominations for Vice Chair? Hearing none, we can move on to a roll call vote for Vice Chair.
Commissioner Vilander?
Yes.
Commissioner Velez?
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts?
Yes.
Commissioner Preston?
Yes.
Commissioner McDevitt?
Yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Yes.
Okay. Congratulations. That now concludes our selection of chair and vice chair. What we can do is have a brief recess while we do a little bit of chair shuffling, okay?
exotic places.
Thank you. Thank you, fellow commissioners and Vice Chair Murray.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to say this is my first act as chair. As it relates to, excuse me. I can do the minutes. Okay. Yeah. okay. Do you have a script? So you're going to have to help me through this.
That's okay. Yeah. So for the minutes, I'm going to read each one into the record.
Okay.
And there's going to be a roll call vote for each one.
Okay.
I do have in front of me a list of who was there at the meetings.
Yes.
So if I do not call your name, don't think I missed you. It's just that you weren't there and
okay,
won't be able to vote on them.
Thank you.
Perfect. So for the first one, item A2, HPC 1-29-24 minutes.
Are there any public comment, either in person or online?
I have no speaker slips for this item. If there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom that wish to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay. Okay, we do a vote.
You should ask if anybody has any comments.
Sorry. Thank you. any commissioners, do we have any comments relating to the minutes?
This is the minutes of January 29th.
Yeah. 1/29/24.
No comments.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, we have no comments.
If someone could make
call
a motion,
for a motion to accept the minutes on 1/29/24.
I move that we approve the minutes of January 29th, 2024.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
I second.
Chair Verlander beat you to it, but you can do the next one. Okay. We have a vote.
So present on that day, Vice Chair Murray. Do you approve the minutes?
Yes.
And then Chair McDevitt?
Yes.
Commissioner Link?
Yes.
Commissioner Preston?
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts?
Yes.
And Commissioner Vilander?
Yes.
All right. So moving on to the minutes, item A3, HPC 12-18-23 minutes. I have no speaker slips for this item. If there's any members joining us via Zoom, if you could please raise your hand, I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay. Commissioners, does anyone have a comment?
No comment. Minutes are good. They're short.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes for 12/18/23? I didn't hear a motion, though.
Okay. I so move that we approve the minutes for 12/18/23.
Second.
Okay.
And for the commissioners that were there that day, Commissioner Vilander?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Velez?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Link?
Yes.
Vice Chair Murray?
Yes.
And Chair McDevitt?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to item A4, HPC 8-21-23 minutes. I have no speaker slips for this item. If there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay. Commissioners, does anyone have any comments? Nope. Okay. Does somebody want a motion to accept the minutes for 8-21-23?
I so approve that we accept the minutes for 8/21/23.
I second.
Thank you.
All right, roll call of vote. Commissioner Vilander?
Yes.
Commissioner Velez?
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts?
Yes.
Commissioner Link? Yes. Vice Chair Murray?
Yes.
And Chair McDevitt?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to item A5, HPC 7-17-23 minutes. I have no requests to speak on this in front of me. If anyone joining us via Zoom wishes to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, does anybody have a comment relating to the minutes for 7-17-23?
No.
No? Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes 7-17-23?
Yeah, I so move.
Okay. Have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
All right. Commissioner Velez?
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts?
Yes.
Vice Chair Murray?
Yes.
Chair McDevitt?
Yes.
All right. Moving to item A6, HPC 6-28-23 minutes. I have no speaker slips for this item. If there's any members joining us via Zoom, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Thank you. Commissioners, does anyone have a comment for minutes at 6:28:23? Nope. Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes 6:28:23?
I so move.
Okay. Can I have a second?
Second.
All right. Roll call vote. Commissioner Vilander?
Yes.
Commissioner Velez?
Yes.
Vice Chair Murray?
Yes.
Chair McDevitt?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to item A7, HPC 3-20-23 minutes. I have no speaker slips for this item. If there's any members joining us via Zoom that wish to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Thank you. Do we have any comments from the commissioners on the minutes 3:20:23? Okay. Can I? Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes from 3:20:23?
I so move that the minutes for 3:20:23 are approved.
Okay. Can I have a second?
Okay. I'll second that motion.
Okay. Roll call.
Commissioner Vilander?
Yes.
Commissioner Velez?
Yes.
Vice Chair Murray?
Yes.
Chair McDevitt?
Yes.
Moving on to A8, HPC 2-22-23 minutes. I have no speaker slips for this item. If there's any members joining us via Zoom that wish to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Thank you. Commissioners, do we have any comments for the minutes 2022-23?
No, that was our first meeting.
Yes.
No comments. Great okay. Comments.
All right. Do I have a motion to accept the minutes 2022-23?
I make a motion to approve the minutes of February 22nd, 2023.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Commissioner Velez?
Yes.
Commissioner Vilander?
Yes.
Vice Chair Murray?
Yes.
Chair McDevitt?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to item B1.
Yes.
Barnsdale Rio Grande Cafe, located at 7925 Hollister Avenue, case numbers 22-0001-CDHP, -22-0009-DP-GPAM-CUP and 22-0032-DRB.
Okay. Thank you. Before we begin, I have a potential conflict of interest under the Political Reform Act relating to income. As a result, I will recuse myself from Barnsdale Rio Grande Cafe item and not participate in that part of the meeting tonight.
Okay, so I will be the vice chair for the this item. So would you, did you read it to the
It's been read into the
record. It's been read, so.
I do have one speaker slip for this item. If there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom that wish to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. So we're going to start with the speaker slip given to us by Robin Cedarloff. If you want to come up. And you'll have 3 minutes to speak.
Thank you. I don't think I'm going to need 3 minutes because I was hoping to speak after the presentation. I'd like to hear the presentation first. So I will pass. Thank you.
I'll call you back up after.
Okay, so let's see. Shall we begin with the staff report, please, and then the applicant, and then.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, Vice Chair Murray, as well as the commission. We're here tonight to for an application for Sandpiper Golf Course, and as part of that application, we have the applicant, Sandpiper Golf Trust, has submitted an application to adaptively reuse the Barnsdale Rio Grande gas station. So the applicant is proposing to renovate and reuse the Barnsdale as part of a sitting area and bicycle way station associated with a new cafe to be constructed to the east of the existing Barnsdale gas station. The applicant proposes to restore the 349 square foot gas station as a support building for the proposed 695 square foot Rio Grande Cafe and for the 727 square foot detached trellis. Additionally, a 14 space parking lot to the east of the new cafe building is proposed to serve vehicle users as well as bicycle users on site. The cafe will include electrical bicycle charging stations designed to look like antique gas station pumps. Additional improvements include associated landscaping and lighting. To clarify, this is not an item for action this evening. The applicant has taken the initiative and volunteered to be here tonight before the formal review process starts to provide an introductory presentation to get the comments from the commission as well as the public. Staff has received numerous letters today regarding public comment for this item. So we want to thank the applicant for being here and taking the initiative to present on this city landmark and their proposal. To give you context, this is part of a larger project that for the property owner, this is the applicant's also proposing, albeit not for discussion tonight, is a new golf course clubhouse, as well as rerouting of the golf course, as well as some improvements to the maintenance yard area. With that, I want to introduce Steve Welton. He's the agent for the applicant and the lead urban planner who's facilitating the applicant's proposal tonight. And again, this is not an action item, and so the applicant's really looking forward to comments not only from the commission but also the public. Steve, if you could introduce yourself and then your members of the team, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely, thank you. Very excited to be here tonight. I'm Steve Welton from Susan Elledge Planning and Permitting Services. We're the agent for the owners who are represented here tonight, excuse me, by Bill Medell here, Barry Winnick and Winnick Architects. and Pam and Tim from Post Hazeltine. We're super excited to be here. This is our first hearing since we started this project about 3 years ago, just under 3 years ago, putting together reports and materials for this, and one of them from the from Post Hazeltine, studying the historic history of the gas station and our proposed project and its consistency with the Secretary of Interior guidelines. So we're really happy to be bringing this to you as an adaptive reuse project. I'm going to hand it to Barry in a moment, but just so you know, I think Daryl went through it just a moment ago. We have filed an application for a larger project for a development plan and conditional use permit. We're at the really beginning of a longer process that's going to take a while to go through the environmental review process, come back to you again, and come back to your planning commission. So we're looking forward to all that and getting the public input as well. And I'll hand it to Barry at this point.
Steve, thank you. Thank you, Chair or Vice Chair Murray and Commissioners. Delighted to be here to share this with you. This project's been a lot of fun for us. It's not very often that you get to look at a development like this where there's an active golf course and, you know, a vibrant community around it that has a historic structure like this as well. So it's great that it's part of a bigger project. Very much enjoying it. My background with Winnick Architects, founded the firm quite a few numbers of years ago, but way in my original first work experience, I worked for a firm in Boston, Massachusetts that focused strictly on historic restoration and revitalization of buildings, and I was an associate in that firm. So it's really fun to go back to my roots with that, and then more recently, I've been involved in the historic rehabilitation of the Coral Casino projects, as well as we're doing the re-roofing of the county, Santa Barbara County Courthouse, and the bandshell down at the close to the beach. So it's nice to have this thread of projects that date from the same periods of time. So again, as Steve did mention, that this is part of a larger project, and it's also a very important piece of that project. As it's part of, I think, in Mr. Minnick's explanation that there's a way station that, you know, people come to as the public, this also serves the golf course, and there's a route that connects it from the backside. So just looking, and thank you for showing this, zooming in on this. This shows you the overall project where the, and I didn't bring a pointer today, but I'm just going to point at the screen. The Barnsdale is in that east northeast corner of the project. And then you see the overall site, if you don't mind staying there, over on farther down Hollister to the west, where you see there's a parking lot and the building and everything there. So there's, you know, center points. So that's where the clubhouse is existing today and there will be in their future. And you get to see the overall course. It's pretty much in this image, it looks very much the same. So now I'd love to go ahead and zoom in on Barnsdale and the Rio Grande Cafe. And by the way, also Tim Hazelton and Pam Post are here, and they'll be able to give you a little more of the historic background of the building and answer any questions that you have. So I won't spend a lot of time on the historic building other than I assume you've read their report and you know that the building was built in 1929. The architects were LA architects, their names, which I did write down, Morgan, Wall, and Clements. They were considered very strong architects that were well-versed in the Spanish colonial style. What's really nice, too, is that they also had that sense of the Moorish style that you also see, for instance, at the Montecito Country Club, and has been focused on some of the other historic buildings from that period of time. So it's a nice mix of Spanish colonial and Moorish. So looking at the building itself, we really felt that the Barnsdale building itself is a jewel and looked at, you know, how could we do adaptive reuse, and initially looked at if we were to put a cafe there and realized that it would be almost too much program for that little building. It's, you know, you saw the square footage is really small. So we figured it would be better to make it a space that would be able to be enjoyed more like its original volumes, and to allow it to be a place where you could sit after coming from the cafe, and a place where there could be historic displays of the history of the building. So really, that's what we're doing. We're making it into a little jewel that's like a teeny little museum building, and restoring it with, you know, the kind of loving care it takes. And, you know, you'll read in the report, or may have read in the report, that there's the desire to keep any fabric, historic fabric that's there in place, and to, you know, reuse it anywhere we can, and then any place where it's too deteriorated to match it. And we've done this, for instance, at the Coral Casino. We've had wood milled to the thickness that you would find for old growth redwood in order to replace it. We'd be doing the same kinds of things here in the Barnsdale building, because it's pretty likely there'll be some replacement wood, and there's definitely replacement plaster and replacement tiles. So we can go, and we'll go through the presentation. But I just wanted to give that little background of how we started with it. So yeah, if you go to the, you can see the site plan. Oh, go back. If you don't mind, I would like to go back to the photographs. Yep, one
it's page. Taking a little while to load.
Yeah, sorry. There. It was a slightly oversized presentation. We've also handed out some 11 by 17s of the photographs, if you'd like, that really help illustrate the history of the building. So it was built in 1929, and shortly thereafter, they built a cafe or a restaurant next to it. And it had a couple variations of that same restaurant. But that was really key to us in the history, again, of thinking what would be a really great use. So it was a favorite road stop on the way going north. And this also acted as a, you know, the outpost to coming to Santa Barbara from the north and Goleta. And so anyway, really it made sense to do the restaurant. And I think a lot of people that I've spoken to in the past, because you only see the building there, right? You don't see the restaurant in the history. Most people were surprised to know there had been a restaurant there before. So that was a really important part of the history for us. And these photographs really kind of have, you know, they're a lot of fun seeing the black and white photos from that time. So you get a good sense of it. And one other thing that's really interesting is the original landscape with trees around the property, and there's a oval wall at the back side on the south side of the building. That's still there and in rather good shape. It's a 5-foot tall wall. So we're keeping that. Our real intention is to keep the landscape very much the way it is. So please feel free to forward. So these are basically as-built drawings of the building that we found on file. And the truth is, I don't know if they were drawn by the original architects or if they were drawn by somebody who was really, you know, enamored by the building. But what's really nice is to have this well-documented. It's been very useful for us. On the next page. And so that's, you know, giving you a little sense of the state today. Not quite as glamorous as the old photographs, so we're hoping to restore that. Next photos, or maybe the first plan. Okay, so this is the site plan that shows that, which you can see those two at the south bottom part of the page, the two piers that are on either end of the oval wall and the floor plan of the original building. So there's a series of existing drawings that basically document the building. Other thing that's really important is on the bottom of the page are the two restrooms, which they originally had two stalls for each gender. What's really nice is those restrooms we're able to reuse single stall for each gender now, but they'll actually meet ADA requirements by just making a little modification at the doors and obviously rearranging the fixtures. So it's great that they're actually still able to be used for the same use. And then as we move forward, I think what we're going to do is we're going to give smaller files for the next time. roof plan, and building has S-tile terracotta tiles on it, so those will be restored. Elevations of the existing building, of course, everything's depicted here in as though it's been restored, even though they're the existing. So we've idealized it a little bit to make sure it looks like it should have looked over all these years. And then you get the other elevations. Yeah, if you don't mind scrolling over to that one, because that's the Hollister elevation, this one on the right that's coming up. And it gives a good sense of what's there. Okay. And here's our proposal. So we still have the main building in the center. You can see that there's seating inside. There's we're showing it's like a built-in bar with four seats across, and then tables that are by the windows on the other side. But I probably jumped in a little too fast. So as you approach the building from Hollister, you'll see that we've taken the zone that had been where the cars would drop off and drive through in order to pick up gas. We've turned those into bicycle parking locations with chargers, utilizing the old pump design for new chargers. And then as you come towards the building, there's that's where the porte cochere is. So that's still there for the welcoming to the entrance. And then on the east of the building, which is plan right, is where the cafe, the new structure that we're proposing, which is in a Spanish colonial style, not meant to be identical with the building, but to be very compatible with it. And it has, the design has a flip-up door, so that way when the door is open, it's very welcoming for people to come in. It's a glass and steel door structure that then acts also as a canopy for people standing outside or sitting at tables. So it's sort of an indoor-outdoor structure at that moment. Come into the cafe, and there's tables, cafe service, and then, of course, a back-of-house area where some of the food prep occurs. Off to the east of that was a little trip. Sorry, that's west. Off to the east, plan right, is a little trellis entrance, which faces the new parking lot that we've proposed, which has the 14 spaces off to the east. And that was very intentional. We wanted to de-emphasize the car traffic in this case. We wanted the building and everything to be in a sort of a little more of a relaxed, natural environment. Still, obviously, you can get there by car, but we're liking the idea of the new use of arriving by bicycle or electric bike. And then as you scroll the other way, you can see on the site where that wall is, the oval wall is additional bike parking. And then to the west of the original building is an outdoor trellised area for people to also sit and enjoy whatever they've purchased at the cafe. Part of the design, too, of the building, which you'll see in one of the elevations and sections, is we are going to expose the interior of the building as much as possible to sort of understand the structure that was there to build the building. We can go on. Oh, it's a roof plan. In order to meet today's code requirements and environmental concerns, we are showing the cafe building with solar panels, which is why you see all those rectangles on the roof. We're, again, showing the main building with the S-tile roofing all restored, and then you're seeing trellising on the other side. And the trellising member sizes and design, again, would be informed by the detailing that you see on the main building for some of the sizing of the members. And, okay, the elevations. This left elevation is the west-facing. So if you're looking from the west at the building, Hollister's out to the left. And it's drawn of the building, let's say, between it and the trellis, just so you can see what the building looks like. And the one to the right is the opposite. It's looking from the east back towards the building. You can see the porte cochere for Hollister is off to the right. Then as you scroll down, that's the it'll sit still. That's actually the back elevation, what you'd be seeing from the Sandpiper Golf Course. And it's got the cafe off to the right and the trellis to the left and the barn-style building in the center. Somewhere we skipped the other elevation. There we go. Oop. That is the elevation that you'd see from Hollister. And again, the cafe is on the left. You can see the where the flip-up door would be, which is that large rectangular door window to the right. And then you get the barn-style building and then the trellis. And this is showing the there's a pretty heavy amount of trees and landscaping there that we're keeping. So the sense of how the building sits there is very much like it is still today. And that may be the last page. Oh, I guess that's a view. The upper view is looking from the golf course on the other side of the 5-foot-tall wall. And the lower elevation is just inside that wall. Okay, and then this is a hand sketch giving a sense of what the inside of the building looks like when it's revealed to the upper story, which is something that we think will be a lot of fun. We're not imagining that visitors would go up in that space because it's just there's probably no way to make it a handicap or code compliant stair for general use. So it's really an access stair. But just having that space exposed as part of the seeing the history of how this building was built and how it would be able to be used. And I think that's that part of the presentation. Okay, Steve.
Thank you, Barry. I just wanted to add one point about the overall plan that may be useful for you to understand is that we are proposing to do a class 4 bike trail along Hollister Avenue, which would include pedestrian and bicycle access. So in terms of the use of the cafe, the intention is it'd be used for golfers that are proceeding along the holes south of Barnsdale, but also members of the public that are walking, biking by, and also the public that lives to the north of the project. Pam and Tim, do you want to have any words or do you want to respond to comments? What's your preference? Okay, well, right. Very important point. So is the other part of the project that you might find interesting is that right now along the north front of the golf course are power lines that run the entire length of the golf course. The proposal is to underground those completely, which will obviously improve the views.
Good evening. I'm Tim Hazeltine from Post Hazeltine Associates. Just going to give a quick overview of the history of the property. The building was constructed in 1929. Sorry, I forgot my glasses as usual. Anyways, by Morgan Walls and Clements. Barry already explained the architectural style. So I just want to add a few more points. One is that curvilinear wall that sort of delineates the parking, the sort of turnaround that was originally used so cars could drive around it, get gasoline, and then leave. At either end, those original piers, actually one of them was for water and the other one was for air. So, but they designed them in a sort of Spanish colonial revival motif. Shortly after the gas station was built in the early 1930s, the Wheeler Inn opened adjacent to it, just to the east. There was a liquor store and a restaurant and a small inn, from what we have read. In 1947, the state realigned the state highway. And so the gas station no longer was right on the state route, and that sort of marked the beginning of its decline. And so by the early 1950s, late 1950s, most commercial activity there had ceased. There was a period of time when it was being used for something, but essentially it's not really had a continuous use since then. We would just like to note that we believe this adaptive reuse is a positive in the sense that a very small building that isn't very functional for too many commercial uses is going to have a new purpose, and buildings with purposes last longer than buildings that are vacant. And so we're supportive of that. I think probably the question that would come in most people's mind is are these new structures so big or so massive? Are they sort of impairing the historic resource? And we believe that they're low massing and sort of reductive references to the Spanish colonial revival style are appropriate. They will be built in the area where the turnaround was, but we believe, given the new function of the facility and the preservation of the semicircular wall and the gas station, that should provide enough indication of the original sort of, let's call it setting, when it was a driveway, that that will still be readable. And there will also be some interpretive signage so that people can understand the history of the property before its conversion, if that's approved. So we are in support of the project. You know, as it goes through the process, we will likely produce a sort of revised phase two that will address the finalized project after the architects have received your comments and acted on those areas of concern, if you have any. So if you have any questions, Pam and I are here to answer them. Thank you.
So that concludes our presentation. If you do have any questions for any of our team, we're happy to answer them.
I very much like the idea of sort of a museum component to it. So who would be responsible for deciding what goes in there and then perhaps maintaining it or making sort of changes over time?
I'm going to introduce Bill Medell from the ownership to give you a little description of that.
Thank you. That's a very good question. I made a presentation Thursday to the Goleta Historic Society. Also been working with Tom Mendrugo on some of the historic photos. So the intent, like Mr. Winnick said, was to have the public enjoy it almost like a visitor center as well, right? And we our intention is to have a lot of historic photos inside those walls. We will be working closely with the Historic Society as well, but we will be managing that. The ownership will be managing it as part of the overall golf course and clubhouse project. And I wanted some of the comments that I heard at the Goleta Historic Society as well, and some of the neighbors across the street. This really is pedestrian friendly, bicyclists. But a lot of the new housing that's out there now can walk over to this place, grab a cup of coffee. Hours are going to be something like from 7 a.m. till 3 p.m. It's just really a pastry coffee shop type thing, grab and go, maybe some sandwiches and things like that. But it's going to be a very low-key establishment. And the whole purpose of this project was to celebrate the original building, the Barnsdale gas station building. And so the other structures are really secondary to that, for that main building. And as you can see at this elevation here, we purposely, the cafe door that flips up was supposed to mimic a mechanic's bay door that opens up. And so we thought that was kind of neat to put that as part of the design. So I hope I answered your question.
Staff, do we want to hear from the public first, or are we gonna be asking questions first? What would be?
I mean, if that's your prerogative, we can do that. Typically, the commission will have
ask
comments
questions.
First.
But, okay. You know. All right. Okay. Any questions from this side for the applicant? Oh, please, Commissioner Preston.
Thank you very much. I really like that building. I've loved it for 50 years. I'm glad that there is an effort to reclaim that as a historical resource. Any program like that might have some issues, but most of my questions are just functional. I went out there and walked the area yesterday, and to the eastern side, there's a golf maintenance area where they, mm-hmm. Now, is that gonna stay there, or is that parking lot gonna get into that work yard?
That's a good question. So the maintenance facility will stay. It's also part of this overall larger project and will be also improved. It will not look the same as it does today. It'll be much nicer. The parking area is in the front of it. That's being proposed as part of this. When we were looking at the site plan earlier, when you saw the 14 spaces, that is carved a bit out of the area that you're seeing now as the facility
yard. So it won't protrude into the existing rectangle, which is that maintenance yard?
No, it does. Not the,
oh, it does.
Not the cafe, but the parking itself does come out in front of where the maintenance facility yard is, a portion of it.
It's taking a portion of it?
A portion of it.
Okay, that I understand. I don't have a problem with that. I just want to make sure I understood. And I looked at your renderings with the chandelier in that room, reminiscent of the courthouse, what's going on there. Mm. So they used to have, floors up there. And so those floor, it's going to kind of be an open ceiling just for the visuals of it, and it's no longer going to be any kind of functional utility up there?
Correct. I mean, the floors that were up there, the floor that was there was maybe storage or something. It wasn't,
People used to sleep there.
Okay, well, even for sure we're not going to do that.
and thank you for undergrounding the electrical. That's always an expensive thing, but oh my God, it really helps.
Thanks for bringing that up.
So the only little hitch in the get along there, if you look at the facility from Hollister, the atrium is on your right. You know, the
trellis.
The trellis.
Correct.
Atrium trellis. Yeah. And it's kind of near where that creek comes in. There's a creek. It's a tributary of Devereaux Creek.
Correct.
And so it comes under between those two condos under the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has a conduit that routes it under the first two fairways.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes out through. So this in no way gets close to that because it's kind of hard to tell from up top.
Correct. So we're very mindful of that. We've abided the setbacks to stay out of the ESH and have held this to the east of the lines that you're speaking about. So yes, we're very aware of that and very cognizant of it, which is partially has a lot to do with how we've decided where to set that building. And it's really not a building, it's an open trellis. But yeah.
So my last comment is, I'm going to take off this hat and put on my creek hat, is that the city has committed over time, it's part of their creeks and waterways issue, to eventually clear that blockage that's under the Union Pacific Railway and have that start to flow again as it did historically up until about 1995. It won't be a serious increase, but it will actually utilize those conduits under the fairways and go out into the ditches, and then it exits the golf course about halfway between, the side of the property. So when you redo the golf course and redo the Barnsdale and all that kind of stuff, it is going to be set up to accept the water should the city ever get the agreement from Union Pacific and all, and the condo association
so
to clear that waterway.
I'll take this as an advocacy. This is slightly outside of my specialty, but what I can tell you is there's a full team on board. We have folks from DUDEC who've done DUDEC as well as Stantec for civil who are doing those kinds of analysis and making sure that's all factored into the project. But it's outside of my purview.
Okay, it will be coming up, but
sure.
It's not a showstopper, but it is a concern.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for your efforts on this project.
Certainly.
This sounds wonderful to me. I think it's really nice that it's sounds to me to be very responsible, low impact on the historic resources that are there, and indeed shoring them up, and by making it a place that a lot of people will use, keep it alive, which is, I think, a really important thing. The Just questions. I'll save comments for later.
We appreciate them, though.
Yeah, okay. The only question I had, actually, is just the fact that this was once an oil facility. There's probably lots of toxics in the soil and everything, and I presume you guys are dealing with all of that. And is just the one question that...
Right. So, again, everything we do will be done in the proper manner. We have environmental specialists on the project. So... for sure, those will be addressed.
Any other questions?
My question would just be that with the cafe, you are expecting to at least make some money out to break even with a lot of the project to keep it going. And if it doesn't produce enough commercial interest in people, and we're hoping it will, because I think it looks like a lovely project, is the golf course then going to subsidize and actually make sure that it is doesn't become something that's not viable because it's not making enough money?
Right. I can't speak, to say exactly everything on the numbers, but what I can say is that we have a very committed client, and I think this client has demonstrated that commitment in other areas in the community to develop projects and to really support those projects. So I can't imagine anything less on this one. I think Thai Warner Hotels and Resorts, its parent company, will definitely be standing behind this project.
Any other questions?
I just have one. I just want to thank you for, doing the restoring on this, and I think it's a really good project, and I'm very happy to see this getting restored. Thank you.
Vice Chair Murray, can I just ask the commissioners? We're all having a hard time when you're speaking. Please speak, into the mic, and because we are having a hard time hearing people. Okay. Thank you.
And I'm having actually a little bit of problem hearing the presenters too. So I think we all need to lean in a little bit.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? I have a couple of questions. So is this, we will go through comments, but for now I just want to ask, when you start the project, will this be in the first phase of the project? In other words, will we get this before the before the clubhouse, or do you have some sense of how it will be?
It all has to happen at once because of as you can imagine, it's all been filed as a large development project, which is going through many steps. Mm-hmm. And so we can't start one portion of the project without the whole project being approved. I see. So we'd love to get started.
And the other, so I wasn't clear, is there going to be a historical architectural report that's be coming up? We didn't see that.
There was a phase two. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Do we have a phase one and phase two?
There is a phase two report.
We will provide that as part of the EIR, and when we come before you with, for a recommendation. But tonight was just for information.
Okay.
And to get early feedback.
Yeah, because a lot of the comments will deal with that. So, okay. So what shall we do now? Shall we take public comments, please, and before we go to the commission deliberations?
Okay. Sounds good.
Questions?
I do have one speaker slip from Robin Cedarloff, and there is someone joining us via Zoom that wishes to speak as well. If there's anyone else on Zoom, please raise your hand, and I'll call on you momentarily.
Hello again, Robin Cedarloff. And I am, like everybody else, really thrilled about this project. I remember as a little girl, probably about 4 years old, riding in the back of the car with my dad, because he had a special key to get behind the gate to get gas at the gas station there. And I've admired that building ever since. So I'm thrilled that you guys are interested in helping us preserve and showcase our Goleta history. So I'm really excited. The only question, concern I really have is I see this as being extremely popular when it opens up, and there may not be enough parking. I can see people driving there from Santa Barbara and getting their snack and taking the trail out to Elwood Beach to sit on the bluff and have a picnic, and their cars are left in the parking lot. So that might be a little bit of an issue, but I'm very excited about this project. Thank you.
I have no more speaker slips. I do have Tom Madugno. Oh, did you want to speak? It's okay. I have someone online, but if you wish to speak, you can come up. You'll have 3 minutes. Just give us your name at the start, please.
My name, can you hear me?
Yes.
Is Janet Cox, and I'm president of the Santa Barbara Model A Ford Club. And we are thrilled about this restoration of the Barnes Del Rio gas station. We were getting ready to start a letter writing program, and I just heard about this over the weekend, and a couple of guys planned to bring their Model A's tonight, but it didn't work out. A granddaughter showed up, and all kinds of excuses, but maybe tomorrow night. But anyway, Model A's were built between 1927 and 1931. And so we'll be celebrating our birthdays at the same time the Barnes Del Rio gas station will be celebrating. So that's what my goal was, is to try and have a joint celebration just one day during those years, or in 1929. And this is something special about the Model A that was built during those, it was only built during those years. And so we have about 50 active members. There's a lot more Model A's in town, but we're not going to be coming a lot. We won't fill up the parking lot, but our tours are just once a month, and we might drop by once in a while, but we'll come for a special occasion for photos. And in fact, a year ago on May 1st, we had Tom Badugno took a photo of our cars in front of the gas station, and one picture ended up in his calendar. So anyway, I just wanted to be here tonight because we're thrilled about the restoration and the timing, and hopefully it'll be done by 1929. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak before I move on to the electronic? Okay. So next up online, I do have quite a few hands raised. We're going to start with Tom Madugno, followed by Frank A., and then Chris Hall. Tom, if you could please unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Tom Madugno. I have a website called GoletaHistory.com. I've written extensively about this building, and I also am thrilled about this. And I want to thank the commissioners for volunteering for their job. It's an important job, and tonight may be one of the most important decisions you make. But I just want to start by reading my prepared comments, and that is that the Barnsdale Rio Grande service station that was built in 1929, and it is still standing almost a century later with little or no help from anyone. You guys all know the history of this building. It's all been well documented. But beyond just being a showpiece for an oil company, it's a reminder of what a boon the Elwood oil field was to Santa Barbara County, creating jobs during the Depression and funding the construction of the Santa Barbara County Courthouse. It's also a tribute to the legacy of Pearl Chase and her influence on the Santa Barbara area. It's a symbol of the community spirit of Goleta. The Wheeler Inn that used to be next door to it was where Goleta citizens would come to meet and discuss current events, like being bombed by an enemy country during a war. A lot of people love this building. In addition to the historic value of the structure, it holds a special emotional place in the hearts of several generations of Galicians like Robin. I did a petition back in 2015 to try and save it, and I got 3,000 signatures pretty quickly. And so many people commented on how they felt attached to the building. And a lot of people shared their personal memories of it. And it's really fun to go back and read those comments once in a while. This building itself is practically the seal of Goleta. I know the word iconic is overused, but it definitely applies to this structure. It has such a unique look. There's only one building that looks like this. Countless artists and photographers has captured its image, and it truly stands alone. The preservation of this building is one topic that's not polarizing. Pretty much everyone agrees that it should be saved. We have a unique opportunity here to take advantage of a wealthy businessman that is offering to foot the whole bill plus amenities. This opportunity has been a long time coming. Growing up in Goleta, I'm more wary of developers than most people. And I think Ty Warner could be called a developer, but here he is offering to save this piece of history in exchange for revitalizing an existing golf course. To me, that's a win-win. We've had this almost happen before and it fell through, and now we have a second chance to save it. Time is running out, and if we don't get it done this time, there may not be a third chance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all I got.
All right, next up we have Frank A., followed by Chris Hall. Frank, if you could unmute yourself.
There we go. Hi, this is Frank Arredondo. I don't have much to say, but the one thing that I'm looking at, and maybe it was presented in the other slides, what I'm not seeing here is any reference to lighting fixtures. And it's not a topic that most people really look at. They kind of brush it on down the line towards the end. But if this is going to be a historical renovation, I mean, I'm assuming that there's going to be periods where it might be open late and it might be dark. What are those fixtures going to look at like? As I drive around Goleta, you see various different types and styles of fixtures. I'd like to see something that was predominant in 1929, placed here at this location. Now, I know we have to worry about light, what is that word, waste? Yes, light pollution, thank you. I know we have to worry about light pollution, but there are different styles of light fixtures that I'm sure can be used, and I'd like to see that happen here. I'd like to see some renderings, what it would look like at night, especially if you're removing all of those utility lines, everything's going to be underground, you have large canopies of trees in the area, is it going to be a dark area that we're going to drive through? How is this going to be lit up? The floodlights that go from the ground shooting upward, I guess, are fine, but I'm talking about the fixtures that are attached to the building. If you look at some of the buildings, I'm thinking of the Brooks Institute up on APS. Their first lighting fixtures were put in the 20s, but they were stylish. They had a certain form and conjunction. You fast forward to UCSB campus in the 1960s, they put in what were called Johnny balls, these balls, which are now being replaced with these energy efficient top hat styles. It's really, really white, bearish lighting color. Just to save on light pollution, but those balls gave it a certain characteristic, this orange glow. What kind of look or appearance are we?
It does still show him as active on the screen.
As well as how bright it is going down that roadway, you know, for late night walks with your dog and, you know, how safe it would be, those kind of things. I don't know. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Up next, we have Chris Hall. If you could please unmute yourself.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Wonderful. I am possibly more excited than Robin Cedarloff since I live across the street from the location. And I was lucky enough to be
at the Goleta Valley Historical Society and hear Bill Mendel's talk describing this already. And the issue of parking came up, and it was satisfied because we've got the big parking lot for the Butterfly Grove, and there's still going to be the big existing parking lot for the golf course. And then there's going to be a few more parks space in front, but I'll leave that to the other guy. The problem is, while she was talking about parking and how popular it's going to be, she's right. It's going to be extremely popular. When you take away all the wiring and bury all that stuff underground, the view is going to be spectacular. As you come across, as you get off the freeway at Winchester and you come across and you look at the shoreline there, it's going to be magnificent. Now, it suddenly occurred to me that is going to be a big traffic nightmare. You've got that little road that goes down to the Bacara. And most people that live at that end, anywhere at that end, from the old 7-Eleven on up, we don't get off at Stork. We know better. We come up to Winchester and go down. So, and then there's that huge community on the other side of the freeway. I believe it's, some people call it Del Norte. Right now, the main artery is blocked. And it's, I actually sat through the last city council meeting, and it was torture. You guys, I don't know how they do it. But the crib wall is a real problem. I don't think we have funding for it. It isn't just a bad road. It's a hillside that's crumbling, and we don't know how to fix it. And I wonder if we could possibly ask Ty to make that a condition of approval, because I really want this. And that crib wall is a real thorn in our side right now. So that is my request. Thank you.
If there's anyone else on Zoom that wishes to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no other speaker slips or hands raised.
Okay, so we'll bring it back to the commission. And this is our time to make our comments. And I guess the applicant has something more to say.
No, I'm just available in case.
Just going to anticipate our question. Okay, so let's start over here on you. Comments? Oh, okay. We'll start down there.
Down here?
Yeah, comments.
Slipped my comments into my questions, so I apologize for that. I'll do better next month. But my comment is, I dug this out of my library, and I don't know if anybody's ever seen this. It was published in 1985 by the American Research Institute, which is headquartered right on Los Caneros. It's a rather pretentious name for, yeah, you've got it. So I think if you, I don't know how you get this, it's probably out of print. Best place might be the Railroad Museum, but you should probably have a copy of this in your stuff.
And you do?
They have it, I'm sure.
Our historians do, so we're in good shape.
Right, yeah, it has the history and all that stuff we've been talking about. And it was a good read last night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I have no further comments, really. It was just a really welcome project, and I appreciate how thoughtfully you've gone at it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Links. Link.
Yeah. I want to say I'm really glad to see that this is actually happening, and applaud Ty and the golf course and all that involved in taking on this project and being so proactive in wanting to maintain its historic value. Thank you.
Thanks. Also, Commissioner Link, can I just re-answer your question from before? I think we heard a lot of excited people about the project. I'm not worried about it, its economic well-being.
I just have to say that I'm very overwhelmed, and I'm just very happy that this is coming now, and maybe we, by 2029, 100 years. Got something to look forward to.
Or maybe before. Thank you.
Just as an art historian, I love the didactic component of it, making that sort of museum component, that to me is a very special touch that I'm very appreciative of. Thank you.
And we're excited that the Historical Society is very excited about it as well.
Okay, well, I probably have more comments, but we, as you can see, 3,000 people signed. We're really, really excited. This is the best thing that is happening to Goleta right now. And I reviewed the project. It is excellent. Because I'm an architectural historian, just like Pam and Tim, most of my questions and concerns are to do with the building. And I'm glad to know that you are retaining Pam and Tim to do the study, because this building is not only a landmark, as you know, it is eligible for to be placed in the National Register of Historic Places. It has, there's no other one like it in the state of California, or I mean, I vow to say maybe in the country, as far as a building that was designed specifically for a gas station, but with all the highest qualities. And I'm also want to say that I am just so grateful to the owner and the team, and to have Barry Winnig as the project. I've worked with him, and so not only are you just doing this, you have this enormous background in restoration, like the Coral Casino, you did that and built more. And so to me, that is just this one of the components of how we fall in love with these buildings and shape our lives with this kind of buildings. I'm just so grateful that already you look at it and it's already meeting the Secretary of Interior standards. Nothing is attached to it. They're all going to be detached. They're all lower than this 40-foot high building. My other comments is, of course, the sensitivity to that tower. It's an extremely incredible tower, 40 feet high, two-story. And then that cupola, which is, I've read over and over about that cupola and the different facets of it and the wood and the wooden windows will probably, you'll have to replace some of them, will probably be deteriorated, and the blue and the blue tile. I mean, it is just an exquisite expression of the Moorish architecture, as you know. And those details are just no longer around anymore. And to for your team to really work with it and restore them, you know, will be just so, we're so grateful for that. And the arches, the tiles, these blue and white, I mean, it just on and on. So I will be looking forward to the study when it comes, and all along we will be supporting your efforts. And and the new building is going to have this those the solar panels, I'm sure, will be hidden, not seen from the street. So very grateful, enormously grateful. I'm sure all the commissioners are grateful. And this, I will make a copy for all our commissioners. So they will have the background story where Robin was talking about in the Wheeler, you know, that really heart of Goleta history that Tom Moduno was also talking about. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Vice Chair Murray, if you could just conclude that item. And
okay, so we'll bring this item to a close, and okay. Oh, bless you. Excitement.
can go ahead. Okay. I think we'll move on to secretary comments.
Thank you, Chair McDivitt, members of the commission. No real comments, except that our next meeting is May 20th, and at that meeting, staff will continue to present on the historic resources as identified in the ordinance. And at that meeting, we may have we might be fortunate to have one of our interns who has a degree in a double degree, one of which is architecture and history, to present on that item. So that's exciting for us. But other than that, that's all I have at this time.
Thank you. And we'll close secretary comments and move on to the commissioner comments. Any commissioners?
Yes, I have more of a question than a comment. So what's the next step with this project?
I can just briefly explain that. So today was just a presentation by the applicant. This was not a part of a
not action or nothing.
Formal review process. Currently, staff has deemed the project complete, so we have all the materials we need to start reviewing the project, which we will be rolling out shortly. Our next step is environmental review to see if there's any potential significant impacts associated with the project. So we do have a request for proposal out right now for firms to submit their proposals for environmental impact report. So that's where we stand. Also, we will have, obviously, this project will come before the HPC as well, again, in the future, which will start the formal kind of review process by the commission here. And the commission will make a recommendation to the DRB and the Planning Commission and then ultimately the City Council. This project is located in the coastal zone, so ultimate approval will be by the California Coastal Commission. So there's a ways to go as we kind of embark on this journey.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'll just chime in. Unfortunately, it's not going to be super quick, just with all the steps that have to happen. So, and then one thing Mr. Mimic forgot or didn't mention, that tomorrow night City Council, one of the, you know, we're in the beginning stages, and then one of the requests is for a general plan amendment to make adjustments to the, figure 4-1 and 3-5 of the general plan, which relate to environmental habitat designations. Yeah. And so that's one of the other preliminary steps, is for council to consider whether or not to initiate the general plan amendment, which essentially is just to give us the opportunity to study the request and incorporate that into the EIR. It does not commit the city to any particular decision. It just gives the opportunity to allow the study to happen. So that is on the agenda tomorrow night. So stay tuned to see if that side of it gets initiated. But
any other commissioners like to make a comment?
Yeah, I have a question, actually. Will the parking traffic issue become something significant and foreseeably?
The traffic issue for the golf course project?
For the golf course project. Well, some people seem to be expressing worry over that.
Circulation and traffic will be something analyzed in the environmental impact report. However, about 10 years ago, the state changed the metric for traffic, and it's more about vehicle miles traveled as opposed to traffic volume, though our general plan has policies about traffic volume. So those issues will be looked at between the EIR and the eventually, when it goes to council, the consistency of the project with our general plan policies. But the overall project, you know, is a golf course. So, I mean, we're not, you know, is the baseline for traffic changing? That is something that the EIR and the traffic studies will provide us information, and then the council will take that into consideration.
Thank you. This is a minor little bit of information I think is worth sharing, though. When I was teaching my Islamic art class, I had a member of the Goleta Mosque come and talk about the mosque and everything that went with developing that. He actually referenced the little cupola on top of the mosque, which I thought was just such a marvelous component. So it really does permeate all of Goleta, which is marvelous. So
thank you.
Wonderful. Any other comments? No? Okay. So if there's no objections, we will now adjourn the meeting. No? Okay. The hearing no objections, the meeting is now adjourned.